The massive food and soap marriage that never was. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Last week, the Anglo-Dutch soap conglomerate Unilever said no to a $143 billion offer from Kraft Heinz, a proposal backed in part by famed investor Warren Buffett. But in mergers, there are at least two types of no. No, but we'll consider a higher bid. And no, no way, read my lips, absolutely not. It's now clear Unilever's no is emphatic. It ain't happening. And Unilever's stock right now is down 5.8% and down by even more in London. The BBC's Andrew Walker in London has been reviewing possible reasons about what might have been for the failure of what might have been one of the most expensive mergers ever, starting with awkward timing.
It does seem that Kraft Heinz didn't actually want to go public with this intention quite as soon as they did. And there was a leak that was reported by the Financial Times, which made the company feel that they had to make an explicit offer and go public with it. I think they may have then been taken somewhat by surprise by the robustness of Unilever's rejection, not just saying the offer isn't high enough, you're undervaluing our company, but actually saying there's no basis for further discussion. That suggests it's going to be really hard work to put it all together.
Unilever's stock last week goes up on the news of the possibility. Now that the deal is off, it goes down. This happens to stocks. We should pity, just for a moment, though, all the big companies who had lined up to help Unilever merge with Kraft Heinz. Companies like Lazard and Morgan Stanley and a company called Centerview. Now that the deal is off, well, those profits just went away.
The amount of lost business for those advisors would be very large indeed. So, yeah, it's a major loss of opportunity for companies, some of whom really do need to get the fees that they get out of this merger and acquisition business.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
E-commerce giant Amazon is one of seven retailers entering a pilot program allowing some food stamp users in the U.S. to order groceries online. The U.S. Department of Agriculture runs the food stamp program. Its official name is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. The two-year test will run in a handful of states starting this summer. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has more.
Amazon has been making a big push on the grocery front, and its participation in the food stamp pilot could give it a competitive edge in lower-income areas with poor grocery options. Deanna Sheehan with the consulting firm Kantar Retail says that's especially the case in urban areas where you don't see many Walmart supercenters.
Some of those major players Amazon works against every day just aren't there.
Amazon hasn't said yet whether users of the pilot will have to be members of its Prime program. Last year, Amazon introduced a Prime payment plan for $10.99 a month, cancelable anytime, for those who don't want to pay the $99 fee all at once. Morningstar analyst RJ Hadavi says Amazon's trying to attract less affluent customers, and the food stamp pilot could be another way to do so.
It can drive Prime membership adoption, which is a profit center for the company.
The USDA's goal is to make online grocery purchases a national option for food stamps. The roughly 44 million food stamp recipients get an average of $126 a month. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Now to a corner of the publishing business and the movie business, comic book characters. We know that a year from now, Marvel Comics will release the film Black Panther, the first time a lead character from Africa will be the headliner in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is the New York publishing world and the Hollywood world way of looking at it. There's also the African way. From Kenya, Greg Presto reports on artists in Africa who are creating their own comic book heroes.
The comic book character Ikoyo is a warrior from the Jangwa Nation. And he carries a big stick. He swings it hard and crack, whacks his enemies in the ear.
The spear he has some magical runes on it that they extend on their own. So it's some form of enchanted wood.
That's Moriette Smithui. He's the artist behind Ikoyo's battle scene. It's part of a comic book called The Continent, printed on glossy paper and sold here in Kenya for 200 shillings, which is about $2. The story is about an alternate universe where Europeans failed to colonize Africa. It's just one of many homegrown comics being created here. There's a noir detective series, another series that tells the story of a psychic hero called Aladnum. His name is Mandela, spelled backwards. They look just as slick as any American comic, But these stories aren't an easy sell to traditional African publishers. Many artists self-publish runs of 200 to 500 copies, but they still need a place to sell them. The artist Emmanuel Nkwata, who goes by the pen name Point Blank Ivumbi, created a delivery service to distribute his comics.
You came up with a system where you visit the Facebook page and you hit up the number, and we sold 500 copies of that.
Another avenue for distribution is mobile phones. Letty Arts, a gaming studio founded in Nairobi, has had more than 100,000 downloads of Africa's Legends, a combination superhero game and comic. Artists have also organized their own Comic-Con. The latest Nairobi gathering had more than 2,500 attendees. Nkwata was excited to see fans in costume.
I look forward to the day where a guy's dressed up as one of my characters.
There is enthusiasm for these homegrown comics. Nkwata has printed 600 copies of his books so far, and he sold them all, making a profit of about $960. Not enough to make a living, but enough to keep him drawing the next issue. From Kenya, I'm Greg Presto for Marketplace.
And there's global concern about toys that connect to the internet, dolls that see and listen, where the data goes, what it's used for, and how well that is disclosed to parents. In Germany, there's a doll called My Friend Kayla that Bluetooths sound to the internet. Now Germany's telephone regulator is warning parents the doll's a snoop and could compromise their private info. The agency is advising parents in Germany to immediately destroy not the doll, but its internal microphone. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.